Hey folks, Ben Birch here from White Rose Society. I don't usually interrupt your regularly scheduled programming, so I'll keep this brief. I am currently holding a fund drive to keep White Rose on the air. If you think what I do here is valuable, please visit our homepage at www.whiterosesociety.org and chip in to defray the substantial costs of this service. Thank you very much.
Gather around the radio, kids. It's time for Strictly Confidential. It's the homosexual agenda on steroids, putting the dominionists and the loyal Bushies and the rest of America's underbelly on notice that the GLBT community is simply not going to take it anymore. So, just like gay kryptonite, here's Peter Godbold.
Good evening, America, and good morning, world. Welcome to Book, Chapter, and Verse 173 of Strictly Confidential, a most irregular Strictly Confidential, I might add. I'll tell you more about that in a moment. I am Peter Godbold, and welcome to the LGBT version of Conversation Radio exclusively right here on the listener-supported Head On Radio Network, also brought to you in part by Coal River Mountain Watch at crmw.net. That's Coal River Mountain Watch at crmw.net. Stop by Coal River Mountain Watch and see for yourself what mountaintop removal is doing to West Virginia. Thank you for making Strictly Confidential a part of your day, today being Thursday, August the 7th, 2008. So if you're listening shortly after 9 p.m. Eastern Time on Thursday, August 7th, you are listening to a live show, and you're welcome to call in and participate with myself and the guest, whom I'll be introducing shortly. If not, you're listening on one of our podcasts, and we're glad to have you along either way. The show site is strictlyconfidentialradio.com, and it is there that you're going to find links to all of the guests and to the audio archives from past shows, as well as to the chat room, which is active as we speak. There are links there for Strictly Confidential's MySpace page, and links to help you locate the music that you hear on the show. You'll also find there a link to the Head On Radio Network main site, and at the headonradionetwork.com main site, you can find out about all of the other progressive programming on the Head On Radio Network, as well as a PayPal button to make it easier for you to support the Head On Radio Network and their progressive endeavor in conversation radio. To participate, well, I'll give you that in just a moment. This is an irregular show, and last night was an irregular show also. As many of you know, the regular listeners know, the Head On Radio Network is a far-flung enterprise. Although the studio is in West Virginia, we have hosts in South Florida. I happen to be in North Florida. We have hosts in Washington, D.C., and Australia. We're spread out all over the place. So the remote hosts are very much dependent on their broadband connections. Well, since I'm in North Florida, and North Florida is absolutely famous for the thunderstorms and severe weather alerts, we have no broadband this evening. It's just barely creeping along. So the show must go on, so I am doing the show by regular telephone this evening, so the voice isn't quite as clear or as crisp as our broadband streaming audio to the studio that we normally use. It's just a temporary thing, but nonetheless, I certainly didn't want to miss talking to our guest this evening, who is Sheila Brody. The telephone number, if you'd like to call in and participate, is 877, the number 4, head on. That's 877-443-2366. If you have unlimited long distance, please use that. You'll save the studio a nickel or a buck, and the number for long distance to West Virginia is 304-658-3333. However, let me make it very clear, we are happy to accept your calls either way. 877-443-2366, toll free, or 304-658-3333 if you have unlimited long distance. Email arrives to Peter at headonradionetwork.com, and I do try to check the email during the breaks, and so you can communicate with the show in any one of several ways. You can email to Peter at HeadOnRadioNetwork.com. You can stop by StrictlyConfidentialRadio.com and click on the chat room button, and you'll fall right in. Just choose yourself a chat name, and you're immediately part of the crew, or you can call in on the toll line or the toll-free lines. The guest this evening is another amazing guest that our friend Glenn Rivera has brought to us, Glenn Rivera being our executive director of talent booking for the Head On Radio Network, and is Sheila Brody, also known as Amuka. We're thrilled to have her on the show tonight. I'll tell you a moment about her, but first I want to thank DJ Joey Luciano. DJ Joey Luciano was very helpful and worked with Glenn in terms of getting the audio clips assembled for this evening. Glenn says he was a great help. We'll be running audio clips for Sheila in just a while. Joey is the Nick Show DJ from Sirius Satellite Radio Channel 37, The Strobe. And you can find out more about Joey Luciano at Sirius.com/The Strobe. What can I tell you about Sheila Brody? Wow. When songwriters, vocalists talk about Sheila Brody, they will tell you that she transports her listeners into another world. Sheila was discovered by George Clinton in her native Detroit, and she remains one of the funk mob's most definitive voices with a legion of fans around the world. She says, "George taught me to write down all the thoughts and ideas that I feel in my heart, and 9 times out of 10, it turns into a song. That's how I write my songs." She also developed the persona Blackwood and relocated to Rome, and there she went on to have the number one dance album of 1999, beating Madonna, I might point out, with her smash hit Peace from the album entitled Friday Night. After returning to the U.S., she shifted back into American music and toured with P-Funk. She also teamed up with producer Peter Rauhofer as a dance diva and released a 2003 dance album, Appreciate Me, that charted in the top 10 on Billboard. It was licensed also to CD compilations such as Queer as Folk or Club Babylon soundtrack. Now, her second single with Peter, You Ain't That Good, charted number 3 on Billboard and was played on radio stations all around the country. Now, although she is drawn to dance music, she's long been known to have a voice that sails above the instrumentation. And her latest venture is with world music, with veteran rocker guitarist Johnny Rico and a bassist J.K. Now, one prominent industry representative called her Tina Turner with something new. However, when Amuka Sheila Brody speaks for herself, she says, "I feel the world through my heart and see with my eyes wide open. I trust in the universal flow of all life and have seen the divine processes unfold firsthand with faith and knowing that we are simply living God's dream. I trust that we will come together as a conscious and compassionate human culture and drop this hate behind. I'll do my best day to day to make that so." Amuka slash Sheila Brody also cultivates an attitude of gratitude and says, "You've got to keep your heart pure, keep it small, keep it delicate with love and compassion. That's all you need. There's no room in your heart for doubt, anger, resentment, or fear. There's only room for love because God is love." Wow. And I have to say that I've fallen out of, looks like I fell back in. As I said, the internet is a little strange this evening, but I do see production chat, and we do have Sheila on the line. Sheila, welcome to Strictly Confidential.
Hi, thank you for having me.
I'm thrilled to have you, and I apologize for our little technical problems. I hope you can hear me okay.
I can hear you just fine.
Excellent. If that changes, as I said earlier, I am on a landline this evening. There's a broadband failure down here. So if it changes and you cannot hear, just speak up. The studio has plenty of dials and meters and lights that they can adjust for us and fix that right up.
Great.
Sheila, I was asking Glenn earlier whether I should call you Sheila or Amuka, but Glenn tells me that Amuka is the name of the band.
Well, Amuka is, no, I'm actually Amuka. I actually own the name. So I own both names, so I tell people whatever makes you feel good. Whichever one you feel like saying is fine with me.
Sheila, what was it like growing up in Detroit when you came along? Did you come from a family of brothers and sisters and moms and dads that were also musically inclined?
Yeah, you know, it's funny. My mother, she basically used to go around the house singing, and I used to sing around the house a lot. When I was a little girl, there was a girl that lived next door, and she would let me, she'd tell me to listen to the songs on the radio, and then she would say, okay, now sing that. So everybody else was doing hopscotch and making mud pies, you know, she had me on the set singing the songs on the radio, and I just did it for fun, and I noticed that people were actually responding to it, and I said, wow, I like that. That's cool. That's pretty cool.
Wow.
So that's kind of how it started, yeah.
Started on the front steps in Detroit. I can't think of a better way to begin a musical career. It's got everything. It's got the history. It's got the location. It's got the drive. It's just perfect.
Yeah, it was pretty amazing. I feel really blessed. I do have a sister. Her name is Roz Ryan. She does a lot of Broadway, and she's my half-sister. She's very musical and very talented. She's been on television, been around.
Well, that's interesting. That was one of the lines I was going to ask you about. Have you yourself done theater?
You know, actually, I haven't done theater. Thought about it, you know, but the acting thing makes me nervous. Auditions, you know, the audition and then they have, you know, they know what they're looking for. And if you don't get it, the idea that you might be rejected, that whole thing, that kind of made me a little nervous. So I didn't go forward with it, but I believe that's still a possibility.
I see. One being you're fitting their mold, and the other one being here I am. And,
yeah, here I am. You know, it's funny because I did send my picture and some music to a guy that was a theater guy. He liked me so much, he sent me to some casting agents in the city, and they were really big casting agents, and I was sitting there like, okay, where's your reel? I'm like, my what? So I didn't have an acting reel. the guy was like waiting for me to be thrown in, and I was like, oh, I don't have any experience as an actress at this point. And then I was trying, you know, I figured, well, when I become when my level goes somewhere else, maybe I will end up acting at some point when they say, okay, well, you're a famous, really famous singer. We'll put you in this acting role and see how you do. I know I look at a lot of hip-hop artists. They end up in doing, you know, acting jobs, and they do really well. So I'm like, I'll probably do great if I do get an acting position.
And that way roles would come to you that they were already sort of written for you, or they knew who you were beforehand. It would be less fitting in.
Yeah, you know, so if there's anybody out there that has an acting role for Amuka, I'm totally interested.
Well, we'll totally put the word out. Amuka, were you a teenager when you first tried the acting, when it made you a little nervous? Were you just a teenager then?
Yeah. I just, this whole thing, I know some actors and actresses, and I know it's a very, there's a lot of rejection involved. I know Carson Kressley. You know Carson. Of course you know Carson.
Yeah.
You know Carson Kressley. He's an actor that I really admire. Plus, he's just a wonderful person, and he's inspiring to me because he's just so natural. You know? That's how he really is. I mean, the way he is how he is. He doesn't, like, put on anything. He's really, you know, he's a great person, and he's inspirational in terms of acting. I look at him, and I said, well, maybe.
Sheila, you're also a songwriter, so I'm wondering when you wrote your first song, and what was it called? Was that way back in the day?
You know what? I didn't. Well, on my first song, I did a song called "If I Go With That Shake." I've written with George, actually. I wrote a song called "All or Nothing." I've written quite a few songs with him, actually. I think about 10. And he doesn't write with everybody, so I felt pretty honored to be able to do that. I still get royalty checks on those songs, so it's pretty cool.
Well, did you write songs for your family or for your mom and dad and sing them back in the days when you were singing the radio songs?
Oh, you mean when I was a little kid? You know what? I didn't really explore the songwriting thing back then. I hadn't evolved to that point. I was just getting into the idea of being a singer. And I liked it because I liked how it made people feel. They would tell me, like, wow, that made me want to cry, or that made me really feel good, and that really touched me. And that inspired me because I was like, wow, I can sing and make a difference. But then when I started to write my own songs,
yes,
on the feelings and my experiences,
yeah,
it even touched them more because they could relate to what I was singing about. And that made me feel good because I want to make a difference. I mean, I've always wanted to. This might sound corny, but I really want to heal people through music and my lyrics, my voice, however I can touch them and make them feel comfort or make them free. Make them feel free. Free to be who they are, free to experience the song in whatever way they want, freedom to not be judged. I mean, I think it's important, you know. I think freedom is really important, and you can find it in music.
Well, Sheila, certainly to this group of listeners, it doesn't sound at all corny, and in fact, it sounds that may very well be the nature of your gift. Singing. Did you sing? One wonders. So many of the singers that we have on the show began singing in church.
No, but I went to church when I was a little girl. My uncle was a deacon. There were a lot of family members were involved in the church, so I was in the church a lot. But I was never in the choir. I don't know, maybe it rubbed off or something. But we were always running around. The kids were always running around, and whenever the minister was about to preach his sermon, they would gather us all up and they're like, okay, come on, we gotta listen, you gotta come in and hear the sermon. But I was never actually in the choir.
I see. That's interesting. Such a musical gift. And did they try to get you in the choir because they knew you could sing?
I don't think they knew I could sing. You know, I didn't really sing in the church.
Cool, you kept that a secret.
I sing.
Maintaining a low profile is important.
Yes, I kept a low profile in church. I did. But I was feeling them, though. I was feeling them, for sure.
Sheila, in my notes about you, you were discovered by George Clinton. Now, how did that happen, and where did that happen?
This is an interesting story. I'd met this gentleman, and I can't remember how I met him. I was in Detroit. And he found that I was a singer, so he invited me to the studio, and George was in there recording. And I was singing. They put the tape on. I had a tape, believe it or not. I had a tape where I recorded some things that I'd done because I was in a band ever since I was 14. Yeah, my first band, I think, was called Damali, and then they changed the name to Peyote.
All right.
I didn't even know what Peyote was, okay? I had no idea. I thought it was a cool name. I actually would stay in Grosse Pointe, which is a very cool place in Michigan. And that's where the band was from. And we did a lot of different things all over the city. I was really too young to be in the place, but to have a chaperone, and it was a very interesting time. Very interesting.
I see. Did you play at high schools? Was it that sort of a band, or did you play clubs?
I actually did clubs. I had to have a chaperone. I did clubs. We did gigs, all kinds of different gigs, you know, all over the place, wherever we could get, you know, something going on. Bands back then, and it was a lot of fun. I learned a lot, met a lot of interesting people, and it was just I just enjoy being on stage and interacting with people. But the thing is, back to George, I was in the studio, and we were listening to the CD, the playing of the song and everything. And he walked in, was sitting on the steps at the United Sound Studios, which I don't think is there anymore. And he walked down the steps, and he had on these, like, 6, 7, 8-inch boots. I mean, it was like in the summertime, he was fully dressed in leather. I'm like, whoa.
Whoa.
And I didn't even know who he was. No idea.
You knew he was somebody, though. You knew that right away.
Oh, my God. He's walking down the steps. He listens to the recording. And so the person that's playing said, hey, that's her. He said, is that you? And I said, yes. He says, do you have your passport? I'm like, no. He says, well, you need to get it. He says, you're hired. And we're going to Europe. Just like that.
He didn't.
Yes,
you must
he have. And I had no idea. And I thought, I'm like, this guy must be kidding. Right? I didn't believe him at all, but he really didn't.
Yeah, I mean, leather and the whole bit, we're going to Europe. That had to be.
I mean, it was the most bizarre thing ever. And he's not the one that usually hires people. Usually the other people were doing the hiring, but I'm one of the rare people that he personally hired.
Yeah.
Therefore, he said no one could ever fire me except him, and he would never fire me. So
he saw something in you at that first look and that first note. He knew.
Yeah, that was pretty amazing. He hired me right on the steps. I mean, he just like, get your passport, we're going to Europe. And I'm like, right. I didn't believe him. But it was true. It really did happen.
I would have been just floored. I mean, growing up anywhere, one doesn't set their sights on going to Europe. How long after this conversation did you actually go?
Within 3 weeks. 2 months. I was gone. You can get the passport really fast. Once you have a ticket, you know, you can get the passport pretty fast. But then there's another part of the story. I was dating a guy at the time. He was pretty wealthy. I mean, you know, I was still in high school. And
yeah.
He was pretty wealthy. And he was like, well, you can't go. What are you kidding me? You're not going on the road with this guy. What? You can't be a star. Now, I'm going to tell you this, and this is something that's really bizarre. He said, you can't be a star. He said, are you kidding me? What? Wanting to be a star is like a black man wanting to be president. It'll never happen.
Good Lord, what a cruel thing to say.
What a and the sad thing is, he didn't even make it to see what's happening with Obama. You know, he's not here anymore. He actually passed away. It was the weirdest thing that when he said that to me, and I was like, are you kidding me? And he told me, he says, if you leave and you go on the road with them, when you come back, I'm not going to be a boyfriend anymore. You'll be replaced.
I see. So there was the threat. There was that threat. Yeah, being 54 and having seen a few nasty things, yeah, I believe it. But, you know, on the other hand, I can't believe it. No, it's hard to imagine people doing stuff like that. Well, during those 3 weeks after you went through that, was George? Were you in the process of buying new clothes for performances or rehearsing?
Well,
what were you doing during those weeks?
I think I was still in shock. You know,
at least.
I still couldn't believe it. You know, and I didn't. I just got my little wardrobe together that I had, and I ended up really going shopping. Once we did go to Europe, yeah, the shopping, it was on. And we did go to London, which was kind of feisty. Compared to, you know, our dollar doesn't go very far in London. But
yeah.
I did go shopping, and I found some amazing things. One thing I realized, whenever you go out of the country, if you see something that's really cool, I would tell anybody to get it, because 9 times out of 10, you're not going to see it again when you get back here.
I see.
There are a lot of things that they weren't available, and so I did go shopping once I got there. Yes, I did.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I'm just bored, really. When you went there, did he know what you were going to do? Did he already have an engagement in mind, a particular performance, or did that work?
He wanted me to sing with the band. I was singing with the band background, and well, they don't call it background, they call it front ground. There's no such thing as background.
Okay.
Because we were in the front, you know.
Yeah.
I wasn't into being a background singer ever. Ever. And then, you know, I left. I left because I was, like, in high school at that time, and I, you know, went with them. And then I eventually graduated, and I toured with him for a while, and then I left and went to college, you know. And then I got back with him. I got married. I had, you know, I children. And then I got back with him again later. So, you know, it's like we have this thing that we say in the funk is we'll be loving you for life, funk family.
I see.
Once you become a part of the funk family, you are there for life, basically.
I see.
Yeah.
I was just wondering, in singing, it mentions Rome. Did you sing in English, or did you have to learn to?
Oh no, I sang in English. Yes, I sang in English, and that was a phenomenal experience because the Italian people, I have to tell you, they were some of the most amazing, beautiful people I've ever encountered. I mean, their spirits are just like amazing. They treat you like family immediately, like you're immediately family.
The way it should be.
Yeah, that's how it should be. I'm saying it was I can't even describe it. But anybody that's ever been to Italy and really experienced the family there, the family life there, they would definitely know what I'm talking about. Italy was amazing. And the thing that the fans would say to me, they're like, they learned English. A lot of my fans learned English because of my song. They wanted to know what I was saying.
Oh, I
see. So
they
learned English, yes.
Were they about your age? Was it in a club? Was it in clubs or a... How did that work? Were they all? What sort of audiences were they?
They were. I feel very blessed because I've always wanted to appeal to a broad age group. My youngest. Well, I don't know if she's my youngest, but recently I had a fan. She was like seven. I have fans in Italy that were 2.5. 3 years old. I'm not kidding. Their moms were like, my daughter loves you, and my son loves. I'm serious. It's been an incredible experience to reach a wide range of the age group. It was important to me because I want to reach everybody, whoever needs that song for whatever time they need it, for whatever reason, that I want to give it to them.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing. Was this, what, around 97 or 98? Because I'm seeing that, I'm noticing the album that's dated 1999. Did you do that one in Europe?
That was 99. That was my Italian adventure.
Wow. What an adventure, though. Apparently it beat out Madonna with a track called Peace. Was it widely played on the radio in Europe?
Oh, my, are you kidding me? It was played so much. It was number one. I mean, there was number one. It was played so much. Every time I turned the radio on, it was playing. I remember I did, like, this mini tour with, we did a girl band. There were, like, four of us on the same label. And we were doing tours, and I remember going to the different clubs, and every club we went to, they were playing a different version of Peace. And I remember the other girl saying, wow, they're always playing your song.
Wow.
You know, peace is really, it's an important thing. I mean, I feel that we all want peace, freedom, and prosperity. And prosperity meaning just being abundantly wealthy, not just necessarily financially speaking, but in, you know, rich in spirit, the soul, emotions, health, you know, that's what I mean, you know. But there's nothing wrong with being rich either, though. Don't get me wrong.
Well, when you and Peter were writing together, how do songs come about? Do you get a melody in mind, or do you write the poem or the lyrics first? How did you two go about that?
Well, in that particular situation, there was another gentleman named, his name was Jackie B., and we were working together doing the Amoka thing. And he had the music at the time. I went to his studio, and he had this music. And he says to me, hey, Sheila, is there something inside you that you just want to get out, that you just pushed way down in your soul and just wanted to come out of you right now? And I thought about it, and I'm telling you, I wrote Appreciate Me in like a half an hour. I was totally inspired, and it was based on a true story that had to do with George. George had brought in some new girls into the band, and the one girl took her to the Nike outlet. Can I say that on the air?
Oh, absolutely. I talk about Netflix all the time. You could say Nike if you like.
Oh, that's right. Well, the Nike outlet, which had merged with Cole Haan, which is like this amazing company. I'm sure you know this designer. And she came back and she had all these really cool, like, leather coats and shoes, it was purses. And so she brought back a pair of sneakers and a little Nike jacket for me and the other girl. So my mom always told me to be grateful, you know, for whatever you get. So I wasn't really able to express how I really felt. I felt unappreciated. So that's why it says now she's walking down the runway. How can you be? You take her shopping and you don't remember me.
Yeah. Wow.
That's how that song came about.
Wow. Well, since we brought it up, I'd love to run that for the listeners. We have a wide range of listeners from every age to every persuasion, and so many of them may not have heard this particular track. So we're going to run the one, Baba, in your group. It's called Appreciate Me. This is a remix that was done by Peter, apparently.
Yeah, Peter rocks. He does. He does rock. It's amazing.
I see. And so let's go ahead and run that for the listeners, please, Bob. It's called Appreciate Me.
Yes, thank you.
Sheila. Great track. What was it like recording that?
It was pretty cool. Everybody's like, why is there only one verse? I wasn't finished. I went in, I did the verse, and I was recording a rock album in Florida. So,
yes.
I recorded that, and then I went off and did my other projects and stuff. And I did that with Jackie B. And while I was gone, he went to Peter and got Peter to start, got Peter interested in the track. And then the track blew up, and by the time they called me, they're like, oh, you need to come back to New York because we need to sign this paperwork because we're going to put this track out. But I didn't know they'd already played it in the clubs. It had already blown up. They already knew it was a hit. I didn't know any of this. And then I came back, and it was already a hit. So that's what happened.
Wow.
I didn't get a chance to do the second verse is what happened. So maybe that was okay.
Yeah, apparently it was plenty okay. So that was a big hit in the New York clubs in 03, or was this just this particular mix done in 03?
It was in 03, and if you believe it or not, it still is today. So I feel truly blessed.
Wow.
Most DJs tell me, they're like, Sheila, that's my song. Like at night, if I feel like the crowd, they're not feeling me or I'm not being appreciated, I put the song on.
Wow.
Yeah, it was definitely, the DJs have, they've like taken the song, like this is our song. I hope I'm speaking for, well, a lot of DJs have told me that. Of course I can't speak for every DJ, but a lot of DJs have told me it's their song. You know, it's their song if the audience is doing, you know, like acting like they think they should be acting in terms of appreciating the DJ, they put the song on. And they say they still go crazy every time. And plus, there's so many remixes of that song. Oh, my God. There's so many remixes. It's amazing. But I feel honored, you know. I'm really, it makes me feel really good.
Well,
Sheila,
did they have you do this song at clubs? Many times I hear that they will have the performer in a club the evening be dedicated to that performer. Did you do clubs too?
Oh yeah, I do clubs all the time. I just did I was in Mexico City. I did the gay pride in Mexico City. It was amazing. There were like 3 million people at least at the parade.
Wow.
Yeah, it was the most amazing thing I've ever seen. And people were in tears. I mean, it was incredible. I do a lot of clubs. I do all over the world clubs. And I have people contacting me from Bogota, like Colombia, all over the world saying that they're listening to my songs. Somebody just emailed me from Australia and said, hey, we just got the new Missy track. I love it. They told me their favorite mixes. And then they were like, and by the way, I'm blasting your song in my car with the windows down. So I thought that was pretty cool. Is it okay if I tell people if they want to contact me on MySpace where they can reach
me? Absolutely. Please do. I should tell you that we are posting the links to your MySpace page and your regular site in the chat room, but many of the listeners, of course, are not in chat, so please do bring that out.
Okay, because, you know, I love getting messages from, I call them my people, you know. it really does make my day, so... it's www.myspace, it's three W's, right, myspace.com/ Amuka Music, and that's one word with no space in between Amuka and Music.
Wonderful.
Yeah, and feel free, you know, to let me know what you're thinking and feeling, and, you know, I really enjoy my fans. I call them fans, friends, they're interchangeable.
Wow. So the Miss You track, you've mentioned that. And by the way, I had a chance to listen to Miss You today, and I absolutely love it. And this is a new track you're just releasing, is it? Is it an 08 track?
Yes, it's a new track. It's available on Perfect Beat. You can actually, I have an actual CD. You get an actual CD at Perfect Beat, and it's like, you know, back in the day CD. I wanted to do CDs like they used to be done. And there's Rhapsody, I think iTunes, Napster, it's available now on a lot of different, Amazon, eMusic, they can pick up, download from there, you know, everybody's into downloading. But,
and the best way to do it is to use the search Amuka rather than Sheila Brody?
Yes, yeah. Well, you know, Sheila Brody was, I did that, That was one song, Do You Ain't That Good Song, because we had done a Mooka, and then I decided we were going to trademark it, which I want to tell anybody that's doing any kind of project, you really want to own your name. You really want to get a trademark or a service mark. I call it a service mark. You really protect yourself by doing that. And so nobody else can come along and just take your name. And it took a year for that to happen. So Peter was like, well, I don't want to put a Mooka out until you know, because I don't know if you own it yet. And I was like, I do. Oh, I will be owning it. So until I owned it, that's what he did, Sheila Brody, which is fine. You know, because I think people, most people know that a Mooka and Sheila Brody are the same.
I see.
But he was a label, so that's what he wanted to do. And labels, you know, when they're in charge, you have to do what they want to do.
Sounds wonderful. Well, I have to tell you, one of the things that attracted me to the song "Miss You" was, in my estimation, it's timeless. I should tell you that I DJ'd in the early '80s, and so the thing that struck me about the beat and the lyrics is that that song could have been released in the 80s. Of course, the instruments would have been different. The instruments have changed in the general sound of the music. But you could have done that song exactly the same way in the 80s, and trust me, it would have been a huge hit. It's absolutely timeless, an amazing track. Tell us how you came up with Miss You.
Thank you. Miss You, actually, it's a song that I lost my brother and my father, both to cancer. My brother relatively young, and I really needed something to handle the trauma of losing someone that you love so much, that's been with you your entire life. And I wrote the song, and I dedicated it to them because it helped me to deal with the pain of losing them. And it was funny because when I was recording it, I couldn't even get through the song. I kept crying through the whole process. I had to really work through the pain to be able to sing the song. And I wanted to provide that comfort to people because losing someone you love is very difficult. And I just wanted to share that with people that needed that comfort to get them through it.
Wow.
That's why I wrote that song. Yeah.
Wow. Wow. Well, I'd love to run that, if it's okay with you, to run that.
For yes.
The track, Bob, you have it listed as Miss You, and this is a Chico's radio edit, and
yes.
This was done in 2008, and I absolutely love the song, and I know you will too. Roll it, Bob.
I really, really miss you. I don't like being alone.
Mooka, I just have to say, I wish you could have done that in the early 80s. I would have so loved to have played that track.
Well, you don't DJ anymore?
No, I don't. I DJed for years, and when I was living in the Pacific Northwest in the Portland area, and since moving back, I'm from Florida originally, and since moving back, I haven't done that. It's and I have.
Well, then maybe you should DJ again, and you could play it.
That's absolutely true. I could just march right in a club and say, "Get the hell out of the way! I've got a record I'm gonna play."
Honey, you can DJ again. If you want to DJ, always a DJ. I'm sorry. I was told like it's like riding a bike; you never forget how.
Well,
I'm serious. I was told that, but no, I mean, yeah, I think maybe that's inspiration for you. And besides, you know, I don't know if you know this, but I'm about to move to Florida.
Are you?
Yes.
And are you to South Florida probably?
No, actually in the Orlando, Kissimmee area.
Oh, Central Florida, Orlando. Yes, that's a wonderful part of the state. It's beautiful there. You know, Orlando has, I think, something like 100 lakes within the city limits. There are lakes everywhere in Orlando.
I know. I love it. There's so much green. There's so much green there, you know. It's just so green. And, you know, I mean, plants give up oxygen, and we breathe oxygen. So
yes,
it's a place to be to me.
I like Orlando. I live there. I spent a summer there. I don't know.
What part of Florida are you in now?
I'm in North Florida. I'm in the Tallahassee area. I live in.
Are you kidding me? Because that's where we're gonna stay there first until we find the house. We're coming to Tallahassee.
Oh my God! You really are coming to Tallahassee.
And my husband's family, they have property there, and there's a cabin there that nobody uses, and we're gonna come there and stay until we find our house in Orlando.
How wonderful is that? Well, Tallahassee, this will be a huge, no one will know. I mean, Tallahassee's kind of a sleepy town, you know.
My husband and manager is from Tallahassee, Jason Kelly. He's from Tallahassee.
I'll be darned.
Yeah. I didn't know you were in Tallahassee. That's amazing. I really love Tallahassee, to tell you. It's a very, it might be a sleepy town, but it's laid back, but it's peaceful.
Yes, it is. And lots of trees. You can hardly see
the trees. And beauty. It's beautiful. McClay Gardens, that's where he proposed to me.
Oh, he did. And McClay Gardens.
Anyway, first Publix and then McClay Gardens.
the Publix out there by McClay?
No, the Publix. Which Publix?
Yeah.
The Publix.
Yeah. I'll be darned. Well, that's just an amazing story.
I know people probably, but I would tell anybody if you want to go somewhere, Florida is definitely a place to visit sometime in your life. I have to say that.
That's wonderful. I should tell you.
I'm sorry.
I should tell you, Amuka, we have a caller on the line for you. We have Victor. VJC is a DJ in New York. He runs Disco 935. Welcome to the show, Victor.
Yeah, hi, Amuka.
Hi, Victor. How are you?
How you doing? A quick story. I heard you on the new station here in New York, Pulse 87, about a couple of weeks ago with Jules Lopez on the Noon at Noon.
Yes,
very interesting interview with Jules Lopez.
Yes, Jules is amazing. I love her.
Yes, unfortunately, the station is a great station because they're playing the dance music of today.
Yes.
And it's just that it's got a weak signal.
I know.
It's just unfortunate that, you know, there's a lot of great dance music today that's not being played. It's just sad that the way you know, we have to hear it on the internet or on a weak station.
I know. So what do you think we could do about that, Victor?
I'm serious.
You got any ideas? I'm all for it.
It's all to do with money. It's all to do with ratings. You know, it's unfortunate the kids today, they got to, you know, get back into the dance scene like it was back in the day when the disco was out. That's why I run Disco 93.5, to keep that music alive. But I also try to keep today's music alive, too. But artists like you, which in my opinion, you sound like Tina Turner a little bit.
I thought that same thing, Victor. When Miss You was playing, I thought that same thing. Yeah.
Very attractive lady, too.
Oh, you're so sweet, Victor. You're from New York, and you what radio station? Are you on the internet?
I'm on the internet. I've been running in a station called Disco 93.5. It's basically 70s, 80s music from back in the day.
Okay.
I'm a real DJ. I also, you know, program, and I also do mixes, and I also have DJs doing mixes for me. I also do I do mixes for WDA1.com, which does run your state music on the internet. It's WDA1.com. They do also play your music on that station, too. It's, unfortunately, it's on the internet.
WJ1.com, you said?
WDA1.com.
That's interesting, since you're in New York. I'd love to, like, talk to you about
I'll do is I will email you, because your email is on that website, right?
Can I give my email out over? Oh, what the heck?
I wouldn't give it out over the air, but I know Victor, and I will send him your email address.
Thank you.
Right, exactly. It's just, I would communicate in. I would also play your music on my station. I do play music from today also, because I feel it's very important to keep the dance beats alive, even though it's today's music, because we also got to educate either the young kids or even people like me and you. I mean, and me in general. I mean, I'm 52, but I just still love dance music, whether it's today or even yesterday.
I think dance music is timeless.
It sounds good. I'm telling you, I heard the Miss You remix. I can't remember the DJ. I'm not by my computer, but you got a lot of different remixes out there. But I'm in the process of doing one of your remixes out there that one of the DJs did, and putting it in a mix for WDA1, because I do a Saturday night show for them also.
Well, I definitely would like to talk to you, because I don't know what every station is playing the song, and I really would like to know, you know, who is supporting the song. It's something I would like to know, you know.
Yeah, because
and I'm also doing Beats. You're familiar with Beatstock, yes?
Yes, on KTU.
Yeah, and Z100 actually this year, too. I'm doing that show.
Right. The thing is with KTU, Z100, I mean, they're nice, they're good. I mean, they're big stations, but the problem with those stations,
they're not
and
playing,
don't take
yeah.
this wrong, they don't play what Pulse 87 is playing right now, because they really are supporting the dance community. And it's sad what they're doing, because they only play a couple of artists, and they might play your song here and there, and if it doesn't get any ratings push or something, they'll drop it. And that's not how it's supposed to be played. If you keep on playing the song, eventually people will get used to it.
But you know what?
It's just sad.
It is. And that's interesting. But I did talk to the music director of KTU, actually called me yesterday. And so we had a conversation, and I'm actually taking my song there to be listened to. You take it, they have Music Day, and you take it up there. And just to be invited, I feel pretty, you know, honored that I'm actually going to be invited to go up there. And they're having this big DJ Times thing where there's a lot of DJs in Atlantic City. It's next Tuesday.
Okay.
Nothing but DJs, and it's where everybody, they all congregate, and they network, and it's a big, very important thing, and I'm actually going to do that Tuesday. And get it on some other stations, yeah. I don't
exactly.
And find out who is actually playing it, because I don't really know, because I'm also working at the Billboard. You know, we're doing our own label now, which is called Dot Joy Records, named after our mothers, and Dot and Joy.
Wow.
Dot Joy Records. And we basically are doing it ourselves, and the one thing that we are able to do when you are independent is you can work at Billboard and the radio, but for some reason, most labels in my experience, I've been on several labels, they either promote Billboard or radio. They don't do both. I don't know what that's about.
It's maybe it's also maybe the ad dollars or maybe something about, you know, it's the
I'm talking about dance labels particularly. Because the other labels don't tend to do that. Like, the big labels don't do that. But dance labels, if it's a dance label, it's like, we're either going to promote you Billboard or the radio, but we're not going to do both. So I don't understand that, but I know that being an independent label now, that I have the option to do both, and that is why I do want to do both, because I desire to reach as many of my fans as possible.
Right, and you want to actually push the single, whatever it is, I mean, out there, but if one's not playing, and then it's hard, you might hear a song, for instance, I might hear a great dance song right now that's playing, a promotional copy, and you can't find it, and then by the time it does come out, you don't want to buy it because it's burnt out.
Exactly.
That's
why the timing is very important.
This music is sad. It's very sad. I'm sorry. This is my opinion. I'm a DJ.
That's why we have to. You know what? That's why we have to put the energy into a solution.
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. Because we know that there's something going on with it. But where I'm at right now is, what is the solution?
Well, I mean, I'm such a small person. I mean, I'm really just.
We start and we work together. Like, we create teams to make a difference. That's what I believe in.
All right, so Peter will give you my email.
Okay.
And somehow we'll communicate somehow, and maybe we can do something about that in the future.
Please, that would be very. I would also like to know what stations are supporting the record. I would really like to know that, so that I can thank them and tell them that I do appreciate it. I mean, I don't want them to think that that I don't appreciate it.
That's why you did that song "Appreciate Me," which actually, a quick story, was actually played on XM Satellite about 2003 when it first came out. The program director at the time was Blake Lawrence, who was programming the jazz station, which went to rock here in New York, WQCD. I can't remember. I think that's what the call letters were. And a quick story was that's how I heard you originally first from Appreciate Me, which I had, and I was doing mixes at the time for WDA1 also.
Right.
But I'd never, knew who you were until really now, because Glenn Rivero sent me that email and said, oh, Muku was on, and I'm looking. I said, oh, that's her. I said, that's her when she came out in 2003. Wow.
That is
where did
awesome.
She find all these artists?
I know. I really applaud them. I applaud you for what you do with the head on. It's amazing that you give that, you shine that light on artists. I want to tell you that we do appreciate what you're doing.
Well, exactly. Same thing like what Pulse 87 here in New York is trying to do, is bring out all the artists on the underground and push them out to the public, because if you don't hear the music, you don't know what's going on.
Exactly. Appreciate Me started in the club. It didn't start on the radio. It worked its way to radio, which I think is what gave it its longevity as well.
It's the masses. You have to put it out to the masses. If you don't put it out to the
masses, that is my goal, is to heal the masses through the music.
Right. So what I do with the 70s and 80s, what I do with the disco, a lot of people email me and say they've never heard this before, but it's been out for 30 years. And it's amazing. They said they need to get this song that I'm playing. They said, I never heard it before. So this is why I keep this music alive. And I keep that music alive, I try to push today's artists also, whether it's house, dance, whatever it is. It's important, because if I'm a DJ, this is my job. My job is to promote, whether it's old or new, is to push it out there.
Right. Good is good.
Exactly.
Right.
I don't want to take up more of your time, because it's your show. I just wanted to chime in just to say that, you have great music out there. Your voice sounds like Tina Turner. You're a very attractive lady, and I just hope that in the future you'd be a bigger star, because you have
Thank
a set of
you.
Pipes on you.
I believe that's about that. I think that's matter of fact, I know it's happening now.
Yeah, and you sound great. I'm telling you, I heard Miss You. The first time I heard a Miss You was on Pulse 87.
Uh huh.
And I said, what is that? I had Googled it. I found it on Amazon.com, and I'm going to put it in a mix by, I think, either this week or next week. It's amazing mix. It's amazing song.
Which, the Chico edit was the one you heard, because that's the one they're playing.
I can't remember. Chico, I hear so many different remixes.
Chico is an amazing, he believed in the record. He was one of the first people to remix it. He believed in the record. He gave it an incredible mix. And he used to mix He was Junior Vasquez's mixer. He did a lot of mixes for Junior.
Okay, so he was like his warm-up guy.
He was his what?
The warm-up guy, the guy that, like, warm-up.
The warm-up guy. Okay, yeah, he was his warm-up guy.
Yeah, he comes on before the guy, the real DJ comes on.
Right,
like that.
That's kind of what he did. Uh-huh.
Right.
That was, yeah, he was, yeah. But,
like, they do the early sets.
They do the early sets.
Right, the main DJ comes on late at night, and that's when
right.
the crowd's really crazy.
So he's a remixer and a producer, and he's working with Joey Benitez, and he's working with Mike Rizzo, different people. But he's really good, Chico, and he's a friend. But he really did a good job with that. All the mixes, I believe, are really good. And the song blew up like crazy in Mexico, too. It's played in Mexico City. It's like one of the biggest radio stations there. Oscar Velasquez mix. It's, what was the radio station? 100.9.
Okay, that's in Mexico, though, right?
Yeah, Mexico City. But no, there are some here, too, but it's all over the world, actually.
Right, like, so I was hearing a story about that you were out in Italy.
Exactly.
The same. So a really quick thing is that, like, when I play a lot of my 70s, 80s stuff, I get a lot of Europeans enjoying my stuff because the Europeans just love the beats. Even the States, people are sleeping.
Dance is like pop there.
Exactly. They love it. Here in New York or around in the States, people are just, I don't know, they're sleeping on the job. wake up, people. This is, it's party time. I don't know. Maybe it's the economy. Maybe it's President Bush. I have no idea. I don't know. That's another story for Bob Kincaid.
Well, Victor, you've made an absolutely wonderful call. I've been fascinated myself.
Yes.
Thank you.
I'm fascinated, too. That was very, very...
I'm just very... You know what it is? I'm very knowledgeable when it comes to the dance scene because I'm obviously, like I said, a DJ, and I read up a lot of this stuff, and I'm so frustrated. Even for myself, I try to get jobs on stations, radio stations and satellite stations, and no one's trying to hire me because they don't know me. And it's just sad that I can't even get in my foot in the door because of all the nonsense that's going on. Because I can
you
be
have
just
to do
like everybody else.
Believe, I'm going to tell you something. Believe in believing. That's something that I totally say. Just,
I know,
you
but
know.
The unfortunate thing is that, Omuka, I'm 52 years old. So maybe, who knows, maybe because I'm 52, they won't hire me. I have no idea. Maybe
no,
they don't know who the hell I am.
You have to remove anything that's already negative chatter.
I know.
You got to let it go. Because as long as it's there, it's going to stop you.
I'm never going to stop because I love the beats, and I do it this way, and even
but
though I'm on my station.
But I would say the positive thinking is really important. Trust me.
I always do. I try to think positive, but it's just frustrating sometimes when I think positive and someone pushes me back two steps, and I gotta start pushing myself back two steps forward. So it's very difficult. And you should know you're a singer.
But you know what? My mindset, I changed my perspective, and once I change my perspective, things pop. They just keep popping. Things just keep happening because. It's like once what I say is I am, and whatever follows that, that's whatever I feel, how I want my life to show up, how I want to show up in my life, that's what I think. That's what I put in my head. And I stay there as much as possible.
It's just amazing. I wish we had more time to talk about this. I don't want to take up your
time. But I'm serious. I really would like to talk to you, later, so I will definitely get your information and give him, and please give Victor my information.
I will. I'll send each of you an email with the immediately following the second section of the show. We'll probably be doing a horn section, so I'll probably be down at midnight. And Victor, I'm so sorry I haven't sent you those CDs, but I'll get them off to you. It's just been nutty here.
I know. You don't have to explain, Peter, because I'm in the same boat. Sometimes it's too much going on, and sometimes you just need some downtime. Omuka, just before I leave you again. Like I said, I heard you on Pulse 87, and I mean, Jules Lopez.
Oh, and I sang live on the air, didn't I? Yes.
Yeah, she's amazing talent, and it's unfortunate now she has to be on Pulse 87, where she should have been staying on KKTU. It's just sad.
No, it's not. She's really doing a great job on Pulse 87.
No, she is. She's just unfortunate. It's just unfortunate the station doesn't have enough, it's just on a weak signal here in New York, and you only really pick it up on the internet. It's very hard to pick up. It's sad.
It's hard to pick up.
That's how I heard you on the internet. It wasn't for the internet.
You know what? They're working on that. I have to say, they are working on it.
It's I want to hear that station because they're the bomb right now in New York. They're blowing everybody away. It's just nobody can pick them up.
They're working on it because I think really they're like a television. It's a television.
Exactly. They work on a UHF frequency on the Channel 6 here in New York. Channel 6 frequency, which is 87.7.
Right.
It's a frequency, and they can't really pick it up. It's on a low band on the FM dial, and you can't really pick it up. If you have an old FM tuner, you can't pick it up. You have to have a new FM tuner.
I'm
going to
tell you something. The vibe and the energy is wonderful there, Joel.
Sure it is. I hear it every day on the internet.
And
it's amazing.
He's amazing. He's brilliant, and he's doing a great job. And believe me, all of the DJs, Showboat, what's the other girl's name? Laura Stiles.
Yeah, Laura Stiles. She's awesome. I mean, I love her.
They're all really good. Glenn Fischer, you know who
Glenn Fischer is?
Yeah,
you know Glenn Fischer from the OKTU. Hot 103, Hot 97 when he first came on in 1986.
He's been doing it, you know, for a minute, and he's really good at what he does. I mean, there's a lot of positive energy there, so I feel a lot of positive things for the station, and I believe in my heart that they're going to come through this. They're going to be a force to be reckoned with. I really feel very confident.
Well, I just hope that it just can just more of a power, you know, on the station. Just pick up so you can pick up the station. But I want to listen to the car and everything. I can't. It's just frustrating. Very frustrating.
Who knows? Maybe KTU might reconsider, or maybe, you know, Pulse might be one station, but another one may come about that's even more powerful that's on along the same lines. Because
right.
Now they proved that there's a need, you know? There is a need for a station like that.
Yeah,
not just in New York either.
Right. We need the dance music to come back alive because it's just not only with your music, there's a lot of dance artists out there that would have a lot of great music that's just not being played. And I'm hearing a lot of this stuff on the internet but not on the radio.
I know.
Here in New York, it's very, very sad.
It is. It really. I have to totally agree with you. And it's not an easy thing to get your song on the radio.
No, it's politics. It's politics and money. That's what it is. It's like everything else in life. Look at the gas.
But you know what? I even though I said it's not an easy thing, I really have to take that back. And I have to. In the essence of being positive, one must say it's easy to get your song on the radio.
Okay.
So
okay.
It happens. You know what I mean? If you say it. And you believe it, it comes to be. That's been my experience.
Yeah, well, like I said, look, your music, what I've heard so far, all that stuff from even the past and today, whatever, when you first started and everything, it's great music, it's great dance music, and it's also because you have a great voice.
Thank you, and I have so much more to come. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, you can say.
I'm actually working with, I don't know if you ever heard of a DJ, her name is Twisted D.
I can't recall right now at the moment
She's been doing it for a while. She told me, and she's really good. She did the new Britney Breaks the Ice remix. Did a Britney?
I finally heard it because you know I hear so many remixes and so many different things that you try to remember everybody. So I also try to give props to everybody, but it's just impossible because you just said you have your own life to live too. So you can't either can't. Like
and there's so
saying,
much music
CD.
Out there. Oh my goodness!
Exactly. And if it was up to me, I would like to play every single artist out there in mixes and so and give everybody props. But it's just impossible because, especially with the station I run, it's basically the old stuff. And when people hear the new stuff, they want to hear the old stuff. But I said, but still dance music, so it's got a beat. Don't worry about it. Just you know, listen to it and fall back, and you probably fall in love with it. Give it a chance.
Yeah,
if you don't hear it, you don't know what it is.
You know, well, you know what? I have to tell you to stay positive. And it could really
I've been staying positive for 20, 30 years, and no one knows who the hell I am.
We know who you are, Victor. You're famous man on radio now.
There you go.
I'm the needle, and they can't find it because I'm in the haystack.
I know who you are now, Victor.
Okay, so when you communicate with me via email. I've been talking to you, but it's like I'm taking over the show here.
Enjoyed your call, Victor.
Thank you. Sorry, I don't mean to take up your time.
No, I've been fascinated, actually. I just was fascinated. I would have popped in if I had not.
Well, it's also because, I mean, like, I don't know if she knows that I do a show called Disco Flight on Sunday afternoons on WDA1. I do a two-hour live disco mix show. on the air on WDA1, and I actually mix the show, and I also MC the show while mixing, you know, live.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I've been doing that since January.
You know, I am a DJ as well.
Oh, really?
Yes. But
you got to talk, girl. You got to talk.
We do have to talk because I definitely need some tips. I mean, I will take tips because I'm new. I'm a new budding DJ.
Oh, so you're at the bottom of the barrel.
No, not at the bottom of the barrel. Not at all. I already got offered some clubs.
Oh, okay.
But I haven't, you know, had time to actually, you know, do it yet, but I am about to embark on that as well.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's just something that I desire to do. I'm passionate about it.
Well, that's great news. Actually, on the regular shows, when we don't have a guest, Amuka, we run a segment during the last half hour of the show when we ask various DJs to put together a mixed set for us. It runs about 30 minutes during the last half hour of the show when we don't have a guest. We call it the Gay Bar Across the Street. And if you do, in fact, DJ, I would love to have you participate.
Oh, wow. Yes, I do. I'm new at it, but it's a passion. I'm passionate about it, and there you go. I've already, you know, yeah. I'm just out there now. No more hiding. It's out there.
Well, thank you, Victor.
Thank you, Victor, and definitely I'll be interested in talking to you and maybe getting some DJ tips.
Wonderful. Well, I'll be sure and pass on the information as soon as I'm off the air. Amuka, you've mentioned the word healing a couple of times during the show. You referred to music as healing the masses, I believe. And I'm wondering if you could tell us more about that. And I have an additional question, too. One of your sites has a link to a place called Alternative and Holistic Medicine. Is that something that you do, too, or does it tie into this concept of healing? I'm awfully curious about that.
I'm really into being healthy and really taking care of your body, because I feel like the body is a gift. And I also feel like God experiences life through us, the body that he gave us. And that's, you know, that's how I feel. So I feel you definitely need to look after it. And I do go for more healthy options. As far as, you know, I am into being holistic, you know, like taking your, I go to the health food store, you know, things like that. Yes, I am definitely into healing the body and also the soul. Because I feel the soul is the kind and generous part of you. And it's the part of you that is kind and generous. And the mind and the body, they kind of want to do what they want to do. So you kind of want to work better.
And as much as the concept of God experiencing life through us
is a
very interesting concept. That's one I had not heard before.
I feel that the soul is that part of God in us, and he's experiencing life through our bodies. Because obviously God can't experience life. I mean, he experiences life as God, but he experiences life through our bodies. He experiences life through us. And whatever choices we make in life, I mean, you know, we make those choices, and that's the beauty of it. That's why he doesn't want to interfere. You know,
yeah.
The freedom to choose, because choice is something that's uniquely ours that no one can ever take from you. Whatever choices you make, they're yours. Whether they're good choices, they're bad choices, they're your choices.
Yeah.
You know? And that's how I feel that's the way it is. That is how it is. And if you know that God is experiencing life through you, it seems like you'd be a little more aware of how you're living it.
Wow, what a great concept. I've honestly just had not heard it put that way before. Well thought out.
I'm also writing a book.
Well, this is fascinating. Go ahead and tell us. We had an author on last night, as a matter of fact.
Well, you know, what it is, I have friends that, a lot of my friends call me and they want advice on situations, and I will give them what my feelings on things, and I assist them in getting through certain areas. They come through a lot. They may have a breakdown, and I've assisted not only just my friends. I have fans on my MySpace contact me with issues and things that they're going through, breakdowns, and I've actually assisted them to come through to a breakthrough. And I don't know, it's something inside me. I mean, I believe it's the God in me that wants to provide that comfort and that healing through my experiences. I feel like in life, you have either, there's only two choices whenever, in whatever response you have, and you either act out of fear or love, and I don't feel there's any in between. And in my experience, whenever I act out of love, it's always the most amazing, beautiful outcome. The outcome is of impeccable integrity. But when I act out of fear, the outcome is not the outcome that I would like the outcome to be. So what I'm learning is I much prefer acting out of love.
Wow. What an amazing, person you are.
So that's what the book is going to be about, my life experiences, or not just mine, but life experiences, and with the premise that acting out of love, you only have two choices, love or fear. And whatever your response is, whatever the thought is before the action, it's either going to be a thought like, okay, you're going to either act out of love or fear. And I find that acting out of love is a much more rewarding outcome than acting out of fear.
Well said. I want to ask you about your music and about the World Music Project. What was that? And what songs did you do with Johnny Rico and the bassist, JK?
We did Johnny Rico, who used to be in the band Warrior Soul. He was a guitar player for Warrior Soul, and he is amazing. And JK is Jason Kelly, who is also my husband, manager. At the time, we were working on the project, and he's an amazing bassist, and he worked with George. I met him with George Clinton. I was actually performing with George at the time, and Jason, this is 5 years ago. And Jason was working with a band called Nuisance, a rock band, a heavy metal rock band. And George was like, he was courting them or helping them out. And I met Jason through George. And so we did this rock project. And the songs I have, On the Floor was one of them. There's another song called Crushed. And it's about five songs. And I don't, I can't hold it no more.
Would you have called that dance music? Was it a dance style
song? No, it's rock music.
It's rock and roll.
Definitely rock and roll. And you know what? It's live guitars and bass and drums. I guess that would make it rock. The songs are really good. And I haven't, I just kind of did them like on hold while I'm doing the dance thing. But I have this, I want to take music, I take dance music into the future. That's what I want. That's what I desire to do. And take my fans right along with me. So they might as well get their ticket.
Wow. You are a pistol, I gotta tell you. You're something else. Let's jump back to some of your older music from 1998, which has been about 10 years ago, the track called I Am In Effect For You. Tell us about that particular track and how that came.
Oh, my God. I did that song with Louis Ballo, and I have to mention Louis Ballo because Louis Ballo is a DJ. Louis Ballo was the person that took me to Jackie B, who I did appreciate with me initially. And it's so funny because he took me to Jackie B's studio one time, and then it was like, it didn't click, like nothing happened. And then a year or so, 2 years went by, and Louis was like, and he took me back again. I don't even know why. He's like, you know, I really think you guys are going to do something. So he took me back again, and that's when we recorded Appreciate Me. So Louis Ballo, I did EQ with Louis Ballo. And the record was at a label at the time, but it wasn't necessary. I hadn't signed off on it yet. We're going to be totally honest here. I hadn't signed off on the record. for various reasons. The record was released, I think, but she didn't really push it. The label didn't push it. So then after Appreciate Me and Amuka became a hit, the label decided to re-release it, but we did, without really totally discussing it with me or even involving me, except my my melody and my lyrics.
Yes.
So it was re-released, and I really wasn't even really a part of the re-release process. But I basically said, you know what, if that's how it's going to be, I spoke to the person who was like, well, you know what, I'm taking it, I'm doing it, and that's it. And I said, well, you know what, that's fine. You can have it as a gift. I mean, after I did, you know, I wanted to go the route of the lawyers and the this and the that, and it was just so frustrating and stressful. And I said to myself, how am I acting? Am I acting out of fear or am I acting out of love? And it didn't feel like, and in reality, all of this belongs to God. Everything belongs to God. So I said, you know what? You can have it as a gift. If it's that much to you, I don't want to go through the stress of lawyers and everything. I just didn't want to do it.
I see. Well, how does
EQ... I love that song, and I many more, so there you go.
How does the EQ come into the title, or is EQ part of the title? You mentioned EQ.
It's, I'll be your EQ, baby. I'm an effect for you. The whole concept.
Ah, how cool is that? That's an incredible lyric.
And yeah, right. It's like, I'll be your EQ. Like, when you EQ, as far as music, I was always, oh, we're going to EQ that vocal. You know, we're going to snap it up. We're going to snazz it up. So I was thinking, well, why can't a person be an EQ for another person? I'll be your EQ.
An effect for you. That's a wonderful. That's just wonderful. Well, let's, you've told us a lot about this track. So this comes as great interest. So, Bob, run the track called EQ, I'm in Effect for You, and we'll listen to that.
Okay.
tell you, your mind works in strange and mysterious ways.
I know. I'm listening to it. I'm like, oh, boy.
Well, I'm thinking that it's so clever to have ever even come up with being someone's EQ. It must have been hard to let go of that because it. I realize you never signed off on it, but nonetheless, that was a wonderful. That was a wonderful.
I don't mind. I'm still totally supportive of it because all of my songs are like my like children to me. I mean, they're still mine no matter what. So, you know, blessings to her and whatever she. You know, does she? You know, I feel like it's been a good thing because it still got to people. People still loved it, and people are still healed by it. So that's the most important thing. All that other stuff doesn't matter. You know, I tell you, you know, love is really important, and it just feels good to feel that better than any other emotion I can imagine. So I just choose love. I'll choose love every time.
Well, I should point out, again, to the listeners that if you'd like to find out more, you can locate Amuka, our guest, at myspace.com/AmukaMusic. And I should also give out to the new listeners, I don't often give the telephone number out. I'm bad about doing that. The toll-free line is 877, the number 4, head-on, translates into 877-443-2366. If you'd like to call in a participator, you can use 304-658-3333. You know, I'm still floored by the whole EQ concept. In fact, many of the lyrics that you write, did you do the tune, the music for that too, or did you write that with someone else?
Actually, I wrote that with the original writer was Louis Ballo, and then I believe that's remixed. That is that's a remix. But Louis Ballo is the first person that I actually, Louis and I used to just write songs together. He's an amazing DJ and just a beautiful, kind spirit, and I really love him too. Because he was really the person behind the whole Appreciate Me. He's the reason that Appreciate Me happened because he believed in me and he took me, he found me. I was with another band. This is before I even started doing dance, and Louis and I met and we became friends and we stayed friends, and he pushed me. You know, he was like, Sheila, you know, you got to do this, Sheila. He was like, come over, let's do some songs, let's do this. He was a motivator. He was a coach. He was a life coach. And you know what? I'm glad we're having this this interview because it lets me know I need to call him. I'm going to call him tomorrow and just tell him how much I appreciate him and all that he does and that I think it's time he and I do some more work together, actually.
Wow. Well, I'm glad
well,
that came up.
Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity and just inspiring me to write more songs that people can feel.
Well, we call it conversation radio because that's what we do. There's no rush. I'm curious about the track called You Ain't That Good. Now, that was a top 10 Billboard hit, was it not, back in the...
Yes, it was. It went to You Ain't That Good went to number 3.
I see. Now, was that both radio, you and Victor were talking about whether it came from the clubs to radio or from radio to the clubs. How did this one go?
That one, I think, was like clubs, and then it did end up on radio as well, but it was maybe not. I don't think it was on KTU. That one was an interesting story. You weren't that good. That was an interesting one. Wow.
Nobody's listening. You can tell.
I'm sorry. That was the one I did with Sheila Brody, and there was like a breakdown in that whole thing. Peter, I don't know what happened. I don't think he wanted to finish it. I'm not sure what happened, but he didn't want it played on the radio, I don't think. Yes, he did. I was told by someone that he told the program directors, do not play his song. And the only song they were playing at the time was mine.
I see. So there was a parting of the ways along about that time. Is that's when that happened?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah. Well, you know, I have to be honest with you. There were some things that we were discussing, and we were looking out for other DJs and remixers that were working with us, and they wanted something to happen. I'm not going to say what that was. But I asked Peter if he could do this thing that they were requesting, and he told me at that point, don't tell me how to run my label and find another label. So I did. But I was like, and I was, you know, I'm emotional. I'm an artist, and I'm sensitive.
I love it.
I was a little hurt by that. I was like, oh, my God. And Jason, my husband manager, he was like, Sheila, if that's okay, we just have to be positive and move forward. And that's what I did. I moved forward. And but no hard feelings. I love Peter. I will always care for him. Because he gave me a chance. You know, he signed the record, and he stood up for me. Because at the time, this was another thing that happened. The gentleman that I worked with before, he basically presented the record, another record, to Peter, another girl, and said, this is going to be the new Amuka record. After I'd blown up Appreciate Me, done all those shows, charity and everything, and he'd never come to one show. And that's why I decided, when my husband was like, you need to trademark this name. So that's why the name was trademarked. And Peter stood up for me and said, no, we can't do that. We can't make this Amuka because she's Amuka. And that's when I found out that those kinds of things happen, which is why I would definitely encourage any artist out there or anyone that has a name that, or a DJ, you have a name that you are going to use for your livelihood. Let me strongly suggest that you service mark that name so that no one else can come along and just snatch it right out of your hand. Because it does happen.
Interesting. Well, along those lines, what is the meaning of Amuka?
Amuka means to wake up. And it also means to go deep, like into your soul. So, to wake up, because a lot of people are sleepwalking through life, and life is so beautiful. You really want to wake up and experience it, the beauty, and the beauty of the soul, which has this overwhelming desire to be kind and generous. So that's what Amuka means, to wake up and stop sleepwalking.
See. Well, I'd love to run the You Ain't That Good track for the listeners. This is a Living My Dream radio edit. Now, who did this mix, this edit?
Living Your Dream radio edit?
Yeah.
There might be, I probably won't know till I hear it. I think it's a Peter mix.
Okay, great. Well, Bob, let's go ahead and run that track. Then you have it as You Ain't That Good.
Yeah.
Love is what I did, and pain is what I got. You call me up on the phone, and I'm real.
Amuka, so that I understand, that was the last song that you did with the other label before you signed with Ultra?
Yeah, that was, was that the one we did when it was still paving? Yeah. And then the next one, yes, that was the one right before Ultra.
What an exit.
No, I want more. That was the exit song, though. That was the exit song. But then I did I Want More with Cult. I forgot. That's right. I did do I Want More. That's the one that went to number one.
Ah, I see. And that was between that and the Ultra label. Is that right?
Yes.
I see. I wish we had a copy of I Want More this evening, but we do have a couple of tracks left to run, Craving and also My Man.
I forgot about I Want More to tell him that's right. Yeah, that was the one that went to number one. I Want More, definitely. Joey Bermudez, Upper Nisim, you know, the gentleman from Israel. I actually recorded that one in Israel near where John the Baptist was baptized. Yeah, on the beach.
Wow, what a great story that is. Well, I intend to get a copy of that. We'll run it one evening as a go-to-break track. It's called I Want More. That was number one on the Billboard dance chart.
Yes.
And then with Ultra, you did the track called Craving. That was in 06. Tell us about how Craving came about.
Craving was DJ Riddler and Albert... Albie Rich. That was their production team. That's an interesting story. I Want More was originally we had taken I Want More to Leela, and that's why Leela, she hadn't put out EQ yet. She had, I didn't even know that she still was going to think put out EQ, but she had, we went to her, we were talking. So, Afra Nisim, I'd done a song with Afra Nisim. Leela assisted me in some paperwork, and we did redo the song. And we took the song to number one on Billboard. And then Craving... Yeah, and then Craving, we went to Craving. We did Craving. I signed with Ultra after that track. And basically... Craving didn't get work to Billboard because certain labels, I'm not going to say any names, don't necessarily work Billboard. They work radio. Ultra is one of those labels.
Oh, interesting that the label has that much effect on which way that goes.
Well, actually, because we got a lot of calls from Billboard DJs who love them because they actually contacted us and they're like, well, they're not working. They were really upset because the record wasn't being worked to Billboard. And they were like, and they wanted to chart it, and I was told that record definitely would have gone to number one, not only by the Billboard DJs, but by the people that actually worked the charts. They said they really wanted the record, but the Ultra, they couldn't get any response from Ultra, so they couldn't. And I love Ultra, you know. I mean, I can't tell them how to run their business and how they just have a different philosophy and a different format, which, you know, I respect them. And, you know, they have to, but my Billboard people are really important to me as well. So that's what happened with that, yeah.
Did you remain with Ultra after this track?
No. I'm no longer on Ultra.
I see.
Craving, and then now that Misty was the song after Craving.
I see.
Oh, My Man. Whoops. My Man. Right, we did My Man after Craving.
And no. My Man was also not with Ultra.
No. My Man was... we put it out on our own.
and is Miss You also, you put it out on your own?
Yes.
Excellent, because I think you're such a creative person that I really think you need full control of how these things go down.
I imagine
it was frustrating working with, you know, people that were telling you how it was going to be.
I really have this desire to do an album, but I keep getting, like, from other people, like, oh, no, albums don't work anymore, don't do an album. But I don't know. You know, I'm going to do what my heart tells me to. Ooh, I like that. That's a good line.
Well, that's maybe something you should put in the book. In fact,
I'm
think...
I'm writing it right now, right now.
I'd love for the listeners to be able to hear Craving. And Bob, let's go ahead. I'm not sure the length of that track. I don't have the... the times on my printout here, but I'm sure there's time to run that before show ends. So let's run Craving, please.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Impresses me about so many of the songs we've heard is that they can be taken on many levels. One hears a lot of Christian rock, and it's very popular these days. And many times the lyrics in Christian rock can be taken as a song of worship or a high energy dance track, depending upon what level a person's mind is working on. Do you have more of a spiritual aspect or thing running in some of these tracks?
Oh, definitely. I'm totally inspired by God. I mean, there's no question. Definitely. And Christian rock is something that we're also definitely working on that, too. That was a Valentin mix, by the way. Valentin is an incredible producer, songwriter, and he does a lot of mixes for, he works and writes with Lucas Prada. You know Lucas Prada?
No, off the top of my head, I can't place it.
Yeah, Valentin's amazing. I just wanted to give him a little props there because he's really a great. I just love that mix. I heard it. The vocals and everything was really good. Yeah, I'm working on a Christian rock project, actually. About 2 to 50 songs that no one's ever heard that we're actually going over now.
Really?
Yeah, I have a lot of songs.
Well, I have to tell you, I'm fascinated by that, and when you make some decisions along those lines, I would love to run some of that music on this program, maybe as go to breaks or to have you back as another segment to talk about the Christian aspect, because certainly that's an area we cover on this show, and it'll be fascinating to me, I'm sure, to the listeners too, to hear about how these songs were written and your insights into them.
Well, you know what? I would love to do that. And as a matter of fact, when we get to Tallahassee, I would love to actually meet you. And perhaps, I'm serious. I mean, I think this is how it works. I mean, I did not know you were in Tallahassee. That's amazing.
Yeah.
So I think that definitely, if that's possible, I'd love to.
Certainly. I actually grew up in this area. I lived in the Pacific Northwest for a number of years, but I've been back now about 20 years. I live in the house that I grew up in the middle of nowhere.
Wow. So you like that peace and quiet thing too then. Yes.
Oh, yes. The dirt road is very, the most action I have around here. The nightlife is fireflies.
That's amazing. I was trying to figure out, I was like, well, could I live in Tallahassee? The thing is, now that I'm telling everybody I'm moving to Florida, they're like, oh, you want to go to Florida? It's so slow and da-da-da-da and there's nothing to do. They have all these complaints. I'm like, but everything here is so fast and it's so stressful. It's so much concrete, you know, and I just want to relax. I get a lot of inspiration in Florida. I write a lot of my stuff in Florida, as a matter of fact. I think I did the vocals for Craving. All those songs were done in Fort Lauderdale.
I'll be darned.
Except Appreciate Me, maybe, was done in New York.
I see. Well, do you have any roots in Florida? When you grew up, you were in Detroit. So how did your first pass through Florida happen?
Oh, my husband, manager. Who was my manager, and now we're married. He's from Tallahassee. So.
Yeah.
But I used to go there when I was touring with George. We used to, you know, do a lot of shows in Florida. And George lives in Tallahassee. That's one of his. He has a big, huge studio in Tallahassee where you are. As a matter of fact, when we are there, we will be recording in that studio.
You're kidding me.
I'm not kidding.
I had no idea.
So that is definitely, if you'd like to meet him, that is definitely a possibility.
Well, that's very interesting. Yes, I'd certainly like to stay in touch. And when you do go into the Christian area, are you going to continue releasing your own, or are you going to record with another label? Have you gotten that for you?
I respect labels and what they do and everything, but I think if you have a solid fan base, I do believe it's much better to be independent. I feel like I can reach more people, and I can control, you know, where the record's going, and make sure that like a lot of times people come to you, they want to license it, they want to do certain things. And if you are on a label, you're at the mercy of the label. I don't want to say mercy like that, but you basically have to dance to their music, basically.
Yeah.
You know, whatever they say goes, not, you don't really have much to say about it.
Yes.
And that, having experienced that, it feels good to be I think it's everybody, oh, I want to be on a label. It was great, you know, I loved it. It was a great experience, but I feel like I'm evolving. And I feel that's important. Evolving is very, not revolving. You know, you don't want to revolve. You want to evolve. Evolving.
One of the DJs that is near and dear to my heart actually has he loves Christian rock, Christian high energy, and he's world-class remixer. He's one of the first generation DJs that has been around for a long, long time and has played all the big places. He lives in California, and it might be that might be something that you would be interested in talking back and forth about. That's something he really likes to do. But you're going to be going into that also, so no telling how that's all going to work.
Oh, yes, definitely. Definitely. I mean, that is, Christian rock is something that we've been working on, and we're about to to bring it out into the open. Yeah. Definitely.
Wow.
That's where my heart is, you know. It's what we do.
Wow. Are you and your husband a member of a particular faith, or is that something that you're active in, or would you rather not talk about that on the radio?
We're at the present, we're kind of non-denominational. We have been to different churches. You know, I have friends that go to different churches, and we visit different churches now and then. We believe in Jesus Christ, totally. I do believe in Jesus Christ. I believe that God does live in each and every one of us.
And I believe in philosophies
as well. You know, we don't believe in judging. We don't judge people. That part we don't do.
Well, out of curiosity, because he grew up in Tallahassee, is he there? Ask him if he knows where Miccosukee is.
Of course we know where Miccosukee is. That was my main street. That was the street that I knew Miccosukee. If I could get to Miccosukee, I could get anywhere in Tallahassee.
Well, if you follow Miccosukee far enough out into the woods, it ends up in a little town called Miccosukee, which is where I live.
He lives in Miccosukee, a town
called Miccosukee. Yeah. Out towards Monticello.
Monticello, I know. George's studio is in Monticello.
You are kidding me.
No, it used to be in Monticello. He recently moved it, but that's where his first studio was, in Monticello, and I've been there.
Interesting. You've been to Monticello. Oh, dear God. Oh,
small world, right? But not really so small, because God works in amazing ways.
Yes, I would say so. I'm sure God had a laugh over the coincidences. I live about halfway between Monticello and Tallahassee. In fact, when I was a little boy, we used to go to the doctor in Monticello, in the grocery store in Monticello often.
Wow. I'm floored that you are in Tallahassee, and we are in the process of coming there. In a month or two, we'll be in Tallahassee.
Well, that sounds wonderful. I would love to hear from you, and I certainly intend to send you my email address. And also, there'll be an audio archive of this show available at some point tomorrow morning, and I'll be sure and send you a direct link, and you're welcome to use it in any way you like. And it is approaching 11, so I am going to have to wrap the show. We have other programming coming up right after this. And Amuka, you have been a delightful guest, and I have to say, one of the most interesting, and what a beautiful mind.
Thank you so much. This has been a very amazing interview. It doesn't even seem like an interview. You've been very, I can't even explain it. I can't even put it into words. It's been a great time. That's what it is.
I'm thrilled. We call it conversation radio, and that's really what we do. It's more of a conversation.
It went by so fast. Wow.
Yeah, we didn't even get to play all the music, but we'll get around to that. And Amuka, delightful, and I'm so glad that our friend Glenn Rivera sent you our way.
And so am I, and I have to say thank you to Rachel, because Rachel is the person that put Glenn and I together, and I love her so much. And Glenn, he described her, she's like that little girl that takes you by the hand and says, come on, let's go be happy. That would describe our Rachel. Have you ever met her? You would know exactly what we mean. No, and Glenn has one of those most, he has a very amazing soul as well. It was a joy talking to him, and I couldn't wait to do the show because, you know, he talked to me about it, and he just made it sound so exciting, and he was so right.
The amount of energy that Glenn can put into any given moment is amazing.
I appreciate the opportunity, and just what you guys are doing, I think, is amazing, and please keep giving that love to people, because we definitely need it.
And thank you. And Amuka, I'm going to have to say good evening, and God bless, and we'll talk again, I'm sure.
God bless you, too. Thank you so much, and God bless all you DJs out there. Take care.
Bye. Wow, what a wonderful guest. And I'm up against the clock, so I'm going to have to run out of the room screaming. There is a horn section, so stay tuned. The live programming is not over. And this is Peter Godbolt, Strictly Confidential. Here's Cynthia Manley reminding you, too. Yeah. We'll be right back.